Everything there is to know about overtime. This is Stuff Employers Should Know.
Welcome to Stuff Employers Should Know, proudly brought to you by LabourNet, management's ultimate HR solution.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Barry Gordon Davis, and across from me is audio producer Yasser Yes Like It Ismail. And today, I think it's quite important that we discuss something that most employers are exposed to all the time or require of their staff, but don't necessarily understand, and that is overtime.
Barry, welcome back. If you listened to our previous episode, I did mention to our listeners that you were away on an island, and I was very jealous.
I didn't want to start with that, but yes, I have been away. It's been, what, two episodes that I've missed?
Episodes,
yes.
Two episodes.
I even have one of my colleagues making like grounding statements saying things like, oh, I'm the host of the show, and oh, don't worry, I've already sorted it out.
Okay, I'm glad
you sorted that out. I joke. Sam is a friend of the show. In fact, we know that she's the only friend of the show.
That's
so
correct.
She is always welcome to host the show at any time, specifically when I've got capacity issues. And if that capacity issue means that I am away, over 10,000 kilometers away on a desert island, she's more than welcome to handle the show.
And she sure does keep your seat warm. So, yeah. So, Barry, what exactly is overtime?
Okay, so let's try and understand exactly when we say in overtime and where there's a lot of misconceptions about it. So, the Basic Conditions of Employment Act, it defines overtime as the time that an employee works during a day or a week that is in excess of ordinary hours of work. That's the easy explanation. Before we even get started with regards to this section of the Basic Conditions of Employment Act, we obviously need to note that this section is one of those sections of the Basic Conditions of Employment Act that doesn't apply to senior managerial employees or employees that are engaged as sales staff who travel to the premises of customers or regulate their own hours of work, or employees who work less than 24 hours a month for an employer. So that's the caveat saying that's what this excludes. However, even if you are excluded from the provisions of overtime, you may have it as part of your contract, and then it's basically an over and above. It's not regulated by the Basic Conditions of Employment Act. So if you have a overtime clause or what is determined as overtime or the time that is worked in excess of ordinary hours, then that would then apply. You can't then revert to the Basic Conditions of Employment Act, where the Basic Conditions of Employment Act provides the statutory minimums for all employees, excluding these. So what I'm trying to say is the fact that these individuals are excluded doesn't mean that they don't have access to it contractually.
And when exactly are working hours considered to be overtime hours? I mean, does it mean, okay, cool, I have a 9-to-5 job, the minute I work past 5 o'clock, okay, now I'm overtime?
Yeah, 100%. So the question always is that when does overtime apply? And the most common misconception is, again, then reverting back to the Basic Conditions of Employment Act, where people say that overtime is applicable when you then work in excess of the maximum permissible period as per the Basic Conditions of Employment Act. This is not true. Overtime effectively is linked to ordinary hours of work. Your ordinary hours of work are those that you would ordinarily work in terms of your contract of employment. So your contract of employment would dictate what your ordinary hours of work are. They may be aligned to the Basic Conditions of Employment Act, effectively squeezing the most that we can out of the Basic Conditions of Employment Act. However, where an employee works less than the maximum that is provided in terms of ordinary hours in the Basic Conditions of Employment Act, let's say, for example, 40 hours per week, where we know the maximum is 45, it doesn't mean that only when they then work over 45 hours does it then consider itself to be overtime worked. However, we need to understand that if they are aligned, then obviously overtime would be anything over the 45 hours. But to reference when ordinary hours are exceeded, it is based on what your ordinary hours are in terms of your contract of employment.
I know many employees actually choose to work overtime for extra money. But is there a limit to how much overtime an employee can work? I mean, for example, if employees just choose to work 24-hour shifts, after 24-hour shifts, do you just keep on paying them and paying them?
Yeah, now that is a good question, because we know that in most circumstances, employees enjoy working overtime. We need to understand that overtime can only be worked by agreement. Okay, so it's an agreement with both parties. So the employer can't just force an employee to work overtime. There has to be an agreement to work overtime. And without extending the show in overtime, I'm going to refer any listener to what I'm saying to a previous podcast that we did on an agreement and how enforceable an agreement to work overtime is, and when does such an agreement lapse. Oh, I'm already talking too much. But or the fact that most employers' agreements to work overtime, in fact, are invalid. Whoops, I've already said too much again. Go revert to that podcast. But just saying that there has to be an agreement either in the contract that basically says that the employee agrees to work overtime. But even if an employee agrees to work overtime and they want to work as much, we all know that everybody, specifically if we have a look at the economic climate post-COVID now, and everybody's tightening their belts and the interest rates are through the roof, not to mention our fuel prices going totally berserk. It's going to now not be yes sir, yes like it. I live my life a quarter mile at a time. It's going to be a yes sir, yes like it. Ismail, I live my life probably a couple of meters at a time. Hey, but anyway, so people that want to work excess hours are limited in terms of the Basic Conditions of Employment Act, which says that they cannot work more than 3 hours of overtime on a day or 10 hours of overtime in a particular week. And day and week are obviously defined in the Basic Conditions of Employment Act.
I've also heard about the concept of a compressed work week. And averaging of work hours. How exactly does that work?
So we're not talking about the compressor on a Merc, eh? Spelled with a K. we are talking about compressed work weeks and averaging of working hours. Now, these are specific tools that are granted to employers in terms of the Basic Conditions of Employment Act, specifically where they work a lot or where employees in those businesses or under those employers are required to work overtime on a regular basis. So basically, they should consider entering into agreements in terms of this. They are particularly Section 11, which talks about a compressed work week, which then allows for an employee to work up to 12 hours in a day without being paid overtime. So this agreement, where it allows them to work up to 12 hours in a day, however, it may not permit employees to work more than 45 hours work in any week, or 10 hours overtime in any week, or more than 5 days in any week. So that's where you compress that week into, call it less but longer shifts. Then you get Section 12, which talks about the averaging of hours of work. And that is where you can effectively take a period not exceeding 4 months. So a period of up to 4 months, and then use the work done in that to average the amount of work that is being done. And overtime would then obviously be averaged over that period by a collective agreement. And remember, this one requires a collective agreement to do so. So this is not an agreement specifically between an employee and an employer. This requires a collective agreement, which means that it has to be done with a registered trade union and an employer. However, such a collective agreement between the registered trade union and the employer lapses after 12 months. So such an agreement will only last for 12 months.
Finally, let's talk rands. How does payment for overtime actually work?
Okay, so we're talking rands, but payment for overtime can be in two forms. It can either be in cash rands, paper, or it can be in time, so time off. So in terms of the Basic Conditions of Employment Act, specifically Section 10, subsection 2 and 3, it says that an employer must pay an employee at least 1.5 times the employee's wage for overtime worked. So instead of paying the rate, the Act also allows an employer to grant paid time off. So either what will happen is that they either then, for the overtime that worked, pay them their ordinary wage, which would be covering that single hour, and then giving them paid time off of 30 minutes. Or if they don't pay them for that ordinary hour and the 30 minutes paid time off, they would then grant the entire period, which is then 90 minutes paid time off. Okay, so it's important to understand that overtime is needed to be considered and regulated in conjunction with an employee's actual contractual terms. So when we look at it, we need to look at the contract as well as what is then stated in the Basic Conditions of Employment Act. And we need to then have a look at which one is obviously more favorable in that term, because an employer where the minimum in terms of the Basic Conditions of Employment Act says one thing, if it is more preferable in the contract of employment, the contract of employment would then stand. So before I risk us going into overtime, if you want to get in touch, suggest a topic, or even just say hi, fire off an email to sesk@labournet.com or find us on all major social media platforms. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast or use whichever platform you use, because you will then never miss an episode and ensure that you stay in touch with all things labor law. So from me, BGD, and Yas, who's living his life a meter at a time under the current fuel prices, till next episode, cheers.
Stuff Employers Should Know was proudly brought to you by LabourNet, management's ultimate HR solution. For more episodes from Stuff Employers Should Know, go to Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever you play your favorite shows. Case law or statutes referenced in the podcast are current at the time of recording.